Welcome to the Otherworlds GG Community Cast. This is episode number 60. Woo, 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 woo. Brr, brr. I am Table for Two, and I am joined by Mellified and Alien Pickle. What's up, guys?
Hey, it's Mellified. I am doing great. We just had a bunch of rain here lately, so it's nice. It's finally dried out, but it's now hot and ridiculously humid. So,
yeah, it sounds like Ohio, because that's exactly what's going on here.
It's in North Carolina, too. It's almost like we're in the same place, but we're not. They're very different.
Well, we're sympathizing with one another. That's what it is.
We have synchronized weather.
Soon we're going to have synchronized chickens, but I mean, you know, you guys.
Are you getting some too?
I don't know. I've tossed the idea
just
around. We'll see. I don't know. Maybe. But
okay. So Joan informs me because we have like 15 chickens, right? And we bought extra more than we wanted because, you know, you always lose a couple in the whole like chick phase, right? But this time, because we actually kept them in the house because we're dumb, they all lived, right? So no problem there. And then she had somebody come into where she works, and they were like, hey, you know, I sell the fertilized eggs for the Easter egger, like blue Orpington chickens or whatever the hell these things are. So I look on the Amazon, and she's bought like a incubator thing, right? That like automatically turns the eggs for you and everything, and it can hold like 40 eggs or something. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? And she's like, oh yeah, this guy came in and he's gonna give me like all the eggs I want. And I'm like, the coop is only so big.
So, yeah, you're gonna have to take care of that, but
I'm gonna rein that in.
Well, that's been your chicken update. Now for the games. So in game releases and updates here, mods, Skyrim Special Edition mod makes NPCs say your name instead of calling you Dragonborn.
This Can is I have them just call me Daddy, because that ties into some other mods that I have.
Boy.
You could smack a dragon with a sword. It's like, harder, Daddy.
Oh, no.
That's wrong. It's using AI to do the speech synthesis. So, yeah, you can be named whatever you like.
Well, you know what's funny about that is you talk about breeding, you know, chickens there, it looks like. There's a new game coming out. I guess they call it a new cute monster breeding game. Is it called Socket Beast? Is that what this thing is called?
I think that's the name of the actual game.
Socket to me.
Yeah, it's like a Pokemon thing by way of Spore. It's definitely a cutesy top down isometric looking Pokemon style game where you can breed these cute little monsters. So,
but the big hook though is it's nothing's predetermined, right? So it's actually doing basic genetic recombination when you breed two monsters, so they take on the characteristics of their parent. And it's all dynamic. It's all generated on the fly.
There is a new Doom Eternal update that finally fixes a two-year-old bug, and it also adds a bunch of nifty accessibility features. Doom Eternal just received a small revision to its 6.66 update. General quality of life features, and finally fixing one of its most frustrating bugs, which I'm not fully familiar with this bug. Are you, Mellified?
Basically, there was an achievement for getting all the achievements, and that didn't work.
Oh, well, there you go. I guess I wasn't trying to go for the achievements.
it unlocked like one of the little podiums and stuff for your character, so a lot of people were, you know, really excited about it, and it didn't work. So only 2 years, you know.
All right, what do we got next?
Let's see. We have Sifu. You can now be the student or the master because they're adding some more difficulty options. That's always nice to see. And COVID lockdown in Shanghai is impacting Genshin Impact. because the team can't work on the next patch, 2.7. So they've indefinitely delayed it, pending when they can get back to work.
Yeah, CCP Games, who's the developer of EVE Online, recently had their fan fest this last Friday, the 6th of May. And one of the things they were talking about is how they've been working on localization stuff for their games. So they're getting more Korean localization. They're doing like Spanish community stuff now too, where the game gets fully translated into Spanish. And they've redeployed the game into Japan and into China. And they were talking about that because of the heavy lockdowns in Shanghai, where their office is, they're not able to get the game done properly out there right now. So those lockdowns are definitely impacting a few different game companies out in Shanghai.
Makes sense. Well, if you can't get, you know, you can't get into the recording studio, it's going to be tough to do localization, I suppose. Speaking of accessibility features with Doom, we've now seeing Dead Cells is adding a bunch, including an assist mode to make it easier to do some of the jumps. And you can also turn off permadeath. So some interesting opportunities there. And I don't know if you remember this game, Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time. It was [S2] Yep. [S1] 3D platformer reboot of Prince of Persia.
And I saw the terrible movie.
Oh no! Well, the game was actually really good, and it had a fun narrative structure where he was like telling the story. So if you made a mistake, he goes, "No, that's not what happened," and you know,
game good, movie bad. Yes.
Not a surprise, probably. But they were announced a remake, and the remake has been in development hell for a while, so they've moved it back to the original studio that did the game in the first place, rather than licensing it out to somebody. So hopefully that means it'll get back on track. We also have a new game that just came out, Loot River, which is if Diablo and Tetris had a baby.
Interesting.
It's a wacky looking game. That description is probably the best one, but because it's procedurally generated, you can move these platforms around to get to different parts of the level and get to the chest, get to the monsters. You know, sometimes the monsters will be on the little island with the chest, so you have to sort of think about mob management and how you're going to shift things around so the monsters can't get to you. So it really looks pretty cool. It is out, I think it's like $20-$25, something like that. And it is on Game Pass, I believe. So if you want to try it.
Well, this is an interesting game for sure. I don't know if I would call it a Diablo Tetris baby, but because I always used to think that was like Bubble Bobble, but you know,
but no, it reminds me of one of those sliding tile puzzles.
Yeah.
It's like there's one square that's open, so you got to slide all the stuff around to line them up the way you want.
I feel like that's more
like an hour into it. I did like two runs, and once I realized like, oh, this isn't just like a trick room. This is the whole game is the sliding puzzle thing. I was just kind of like, I finished that run and then just kind of uninstalled it. So thank you, Game Pass, instead of. You know, I mean, it's interesting, but it's just not my jam. Also, the combat wasn't my jam. The way it was weird. Like, it was a thing of like, okay, you have to, like you were saying, you slide the tiles around to the point where not all the monsters on the screen have a path to get to you, because if you hit one, they all wake up, and then if they're on a connected bridge to you, they're coming, and it's just like just one of the poison guys alone is enough to kill you if you're not doing careful. So it's kind of like you have to build your own bottlenecks to slow them down.
Interesting.
But in order to move a platform, you have to be on the platform, so you might have to set stuff up to where you can actually take a platform that monsters are on and pull it away from the other monsters and then fight the guys that are on it, kind of thing. I don't know. It's interesting. I'm sure it's somebody's jam. It just wasn't mine.
Yeah, fair enough. I love it that it's on Game Pass, so folks can try it out if they're subscribed. So that's always great.
Well, did you know that they're making a new Crisis 4?
I had heard that. Yeah, that was the reason they did the remasters, I believe.
So it looks like the guy who was the game director for Hitman 3 will lead the Crisis 4 development. So Crytek is a bit on a recruitment spree right now for their next installment, and it looks like they landed the director of Hitman 3 to lead this one. So that's pretty cool. And Hitman 3 was a pretty solid game, I thought. So,
yeah, definitely. Apparently, The Day Before is the most wishlisted game on Steam right now. And it's a mix of DayZ, Last of Us, and The Division. It has been delayed by almost a year because the team has decided to move it to Unreal 5 as the engine. So
that's interesting. That's interesting. That's the most wishlisted game on Steam, considering I'm just now hearing about it.
As it was news to me when I saw this article. So. You know, take it with a grain of salt that it's the most wishlisted game. That's according to PC Gamer here. But I thought it was very interesting that the move to Unreal 5 was going to add, you know, that long to their development cycle. I've heard that it was kind of a drop-in upgrade. So maybe they just have to do optimization and bug fixing still.
Quite possible.
So, Mr. Table for Two, can you walk us through the news from Eve?
Yeah, no, 100%. So this is an interesting story. So this is going to kind of spawn just a quick discussion here just to kind of talk about all the updates. But CCP is still trying to make an Eve Online FPS happen. Now, here's the thing. Years ago, they made a game called Dust 514 that was on the PlayStation 3. It was exclusive to the PS3. That was a direct tie-in to their MMO universe, and there was even some mechanics in EVE where, like, you could chat with people that were in Dust 514, vice versa, yada, yada, yada. The idea and the mechanic were great, and actually the gameplay for Dust 514 was great, but here's the thing. The audience on Dust for Dust was small because the player base at the time for first-person shooters was not on the PS3, it was on PC and the 360. That's where, like, the heavy shooter actions during that generation were. And so it really kind of hurt their profitability or their, like, you know, like a solid launch. The reason, and there's a whole lot of story behind what happened, but the Sony was the ones that were going to be willing to allow them to integrate with EVE Online. They tried to go onto the Xbox, but Microsoft wouldn't let them tie the two ecosystems together at the time. And they
had never thought to bring it to PC.
And for some reason, they decided not to bring their game to PC, where their core fan base was to begin with. So it was kind of a weird, like, scenario, and so that game ultimately went under, and then they spent several years talking about a new one, and then that one got canceled, and then they talked about another one, and then apparently that one's canceled, and now they're talking about another one yet again. CCP has not had a really good proven track record for announcing games and releasing them. Of the EVE Online universe, they have three that are currently in active, like, cycle, which is EVE Online, EVE Valkyrie is still available, and the services are still up and running, and there is their mobile phone Gunjack game that you can play that is also, like, a mobile VR game or whatever it is. Other than that, nothing else really has survived. Now, FanFest, as I mentioned earlier, is this weekend, and they had their keynote speech as of recording this yesterday, and I listened to that yesterday morning. It was about an hour and 45 minutes of, I'm not sure what I'm listening to. Of course, they haven't had a real FanFest in like 3 or 4 years. They stopped doing actual FanFest in 2018. Then they did this kind of like round the world tour thing at one point. And with like little fan fests in like different cities all over the world. And then, of course, COVID hit and they just stopped doing them all together. So this year is their first year back and doing it. And there was this whole to do about them making the biggest announcement of a content update ever. Like, this was supposed to be the largest content update the game has ever seen, was getting announced at FanFest. And usually they drop their bangers at their keynote speech. But their keynote speech was full of graphical update announcements, them talking about this first person shooter, to them saying that they're going to be doing a lot of revamping of faction warfare, UI changes, stuff like I guess if they're talking about their biggest content update ever, it's a whole bunch of little stuff combined together rather than one big piece of content or change. A lot of people were thinking that they were finally going to announce walking in stations for real, because they've been dropping, like, in their entire keynote and days before their keynote, there were several things that came out that were as heavily implying and heavily hinting at that, but yet they haven't said it. And there's been some in-game changes that would hint at it too, like the player avatars are animated now, and they actually move around in their little silhouette thing or whatever it is when you open up like your character window. Instead of just like their eyes looking around, like they'll actually move their bodies and then turn their heads and look around and do stuff. So they're more animated than they ever were before. And their cutscenes are all made in a game engine now, using actual like NPC scripted avatars to do their stuff. So, and then there's all these other little hints that they were dropping throughout the keynote, but they never said anything. And so a lot of people were really confused, and the fans are really confused as to like what that really meant. So FanFest is still going on as of recording this, so who knows, maybe they'll end FanFest and say, hey, by the way, this, don't know. The other takeaway from it was a CCP has done a partnership deal with Microsoft where you can now officially, well, not yet, they're putting it into the game, but they have a partnership to put into the game the ability to export data into Excel from within the game. And there's a whole like mechanic to how you can like do custom data and custom spreadsheets. They've literally turned the game from the meme of Spreadsheet Simulator to no, really, they're spreadsheets now. So they leaned into it, which a lot of people were actually really excited about that, because people don't really like using Google Docs, but now they can, you know, use something a little bit more legit. Not that Google Docs isn't legit, but some people have issues with that. But anyway, that's a little bit about FanFest. I'm kind of on the fence about what I heard. The graphical stuff is amazing. Don't get me wrong. They're doing some really cool stuff graphically. But I, like a lot of other players, are a little lost on the statements they made pre-FanFest as to what they meant by the biggest content update that the game has ever seen. Because they just recently changed their subscription model. Starting later this month, oh, there goes my dog. Starting later this month, they're going to increase the cost of the subscription from $15 a month to $20. They're saying it's due to years of inflation that they're finally catching up to it, but the industry standard for all MMOs still is $15. You look at WoW, you look at like anything where you pay a subscription, Final Fantasy, it's all $15 still across the board if you pay a sub. So, not sure what's up with that, but I still enjoy the game. There's still a lot of really good mechanics about the game that I enjoy. I've recently gotten back into it with a few of my friends, doing some industrial stuff and PvE content that's in the game right now that I really like. But other than that, I really think that they need to do some more work. But anyway, that's been your eFanFest update. Who knows, maybe by the time we do the news again in a couple weeks, we'll have more information. But that's it for now.
All right. That is a lot of information, but holy smokes, I guess good for them for, you know, cranking away at it.
It'd be nice to see them more than do just graphical updates, because the game looks beautiful already. But they did say they're going to spend the next several years focusing on faction warfare and improving that mechanic, because it's not had a lot of love for many, many years. But I don't know. We'll see. I'm on the fence.
Well, I'm on the fence about this new this announcement that the WWE is working on something, quote, in the role-playing game space, unquote. So I'm imagining one of the trends in sports games is to have a career mode where you basically take and make a basketball player or a soccer player who is in high school and basically take them through their career and role play through that character. And so I'm wondering if it's something like that, Obviously, they're going to need a mode or a scenario where your wrestler leaves to become a movie star, because that's what seems to happen to many of the wrestlers. But yeah,
for better or worse, but yes.
Yeah, well, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they do here, but I'm a little, confused.
Is it like, are they going to start up like a fantasy wrestling league, or, you know, like they do with fantasy football, you know?
Maybe. Well, they're saying role-playing games, so, you know, it's very specific. I don't know. It'll be interesting.
My wrestler character sheet and my stats and...
Yeah, maybe it's table thing. The WWE.
Oh, okay. I was hoping it would be like the Fire Pro Wrestling guys, because then I was like, you're going to get a lit ass game out of that. But if it's first party, then yeah, not so much.
Hopefully a game that will be good is the sequel to Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. We just learned, though, that it will be exclusive to the PS5 and Xbox Series consoles. They will not be doing a previous gen release. So obviously it'll still be out for PC and you can play it on PC, but at least they're not going to be held back by those older consoles. So maybe good news. The game Fury is kind of a cult hit, a cult classic. A lot of people really, really love the game, although it did not do well when it came out. And after 6 years, they suddenly dropped new DLC for it. They're getting extra trophies for it or achievements. And that new content is coming to PC, Switch, and PlayStation, but not Xbox for some reason.
Huh.
So, the DLC's up on Steam for pre-order, or as a wishlist item. I'm not sure I think it comes out in a week, so probably be out by the time this episode airs. So if that's interesting to you, check that out.
Well, did you ever play Human Fall Flat?
Yeah. I mean, it is goofy. And if you are trying to solve the puzzles, it can be a lot of fun and really interesting challenge. If you are playing with other people, it devolves into grabbing each other and throwing each other in the water and stuff pretty quick, in my experience.
Right. I mean, I've certainly enjoyed some of my time with it when I've played it before, but they're getting some free update, new DLC trophies, stuff like that. But there's still no crossplay with it, which you would think a game like this would be like a prime candidate for that. So,
yeah, especially because it has 8 players supported, which, you know, I have to have 8 friends that all have it on this, or 7 friends, I guess, that all have it on the same platform. It's kind of a pain in the ass. And even the PC versions don't play against each other. So if you have it from Microsoft Store, you can't play it with the Steam version. So a little disappointing that way.
Yeah, a little weird.
What is not disappointing, the tanks in Company of Heroes 3 will get dynamically dirty.
Cool?
The tanks. So as you're driving your tank through the mud, it'll actually get dirty appropriate to what it's doing, versus a tank that's driving on a road won't be dirty.
Oh, well, that's nice.
They're very excited about this feature. I mean, I'm sure technically it is impressive, but yeah.
Yeah, most of the time you're zoomed out, though, so I mean, it's not really like, you know.
Well, now you have a reason to zoom in. You can check if your tankers are cleaning their tank appropriately.
I feel like there's some kind of weird, like, dirty joke with that, but I'm going to leave that one alone.
Not being left alone is the Bethesda launcher, which is being shut down.
Already uninstalled. Get out of here.
Yeah, so you can go to Bethesda's website and basically transfer any games that you've received through the Bethesda store, Bethesda launcher, to Steam. This does not apply for Elder Scrolls Online, but it basically anything else from Bethesda, you can move to Steam. It does not let you move individual games, though. It's all or nothing on the account.
Yep.
So
already moved all my stuff. I'm done.
Yeah. I had some stuff already on Steam.
Well, you know, yeah, and that was the weird thing, too, is I was kind of like, well, how does this work if I've already owned it on Steam? But whatever. But speaking of owning it on Steam, the cool thing with Bethesda is they've got some of their classic Elder Scrolls stuff are now free on Steam. So Elder Scrolls Arena, I think the first one, and Elder Scrolls 2 Daggerfall are now free on Steam.
Yeah, now if you're going to play Daggerfall, though, go find the Unity fan version and get some of the mods for it. We think we talked about that last news show because that's really excellent.
Yep.
It looks like the Uncharted Legacy of Thieves, which was the, I believe, most recent Uncharted game, that... Oh, no, I'm sorry. This is the collection. This is the first three games, it looks like, are going to be released on PC in June. Based on just some data mining.
Just more and more of that Sony stuff getting its way onto the PC.
Yep. So it'll be an Epic exclusive, at least initially. So keep that in mind. But if you want to get your Uncharted on, you have a way to do it. The Steam Deck has a official docking station coming from Valve soon. And initially, it was advertised with one USB 3 port and two USB 2 ports. They've actually upgraded all three of the ports to USB 3, which is great if you have any peripherals. And they're still saying it's coming in late spring. I'm pretty sure we're in late spring. first day of summer's coming up, not too far away. So hopefully it'll be out soon. I will say, I do think Valve made one error in judgment with the Steam Deck, and that is not putting a second USB-C port on the bottom of the thing.
Yep. I was just thinking
because,
that.
Like, you know, even with the dock, you have to have a little, like, cable coming up over the top to connect to the USB-C on the top of the thing. And it would have been so nice to just be able to pop it into the dock from the bottom.
Well, I really like the fact too that they're getting on the bandwagon with a DisplayPort technology as well as HDMI. Mm-hmm. So in theory, I wonder if that's an active passive thing or if like you'll be able to use them both actively. Because then you can might need dual screen with your docked deck. The other thing, too, I like is the integrated Ethernet, too. So when you dock it, you're getting a hardline Ethernet.
And that is gigabit. That was the other announcement that came out of this. So,
yeah, that's awesome. I actually think I might invest if I do end up actually getting my Steam Deck. I think I might invest in their official dock for it. And I'll probably use that at my PC upstairs or my TV upstairs. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think that's a great use case for it, for sure.
So, you guys have phones, right? It doesn't matter.
Do.
It doesn't matter anymore because Diablo Immortal is coming to the PC after all.
Wait a minute.
Well, I guess they realized because now that you can really emulate games on PC that are mobile games, you know, like stuff like BlueStacks and other emulators that are out there, they realized that people were just going to emulate this anyway, and so they decided to go ahead and natively port it to the PC.
Yeah, they actually said as much.
Yeah,
people are going to just emulate it. You all got emulators, right?
Yeah, so, you know, this just kind of is just, I mean, like, good for them, but I think people are still real salty about it, because it's just like, it's not Diablo 4, and, you know, but whatever.
As long as it looks okay, like, and it doesn't play like a crappy, like, you know, pay by the inch kind of mobile game, then it shouldn't be too bad. I mean, like, you know, hey, give me some Diablo while I wait for Diablo. Okay.
I just can't understand, given that this is a reskin of an existing game, why it's taking so long.
Yeah, I mean, that's I've said the same thing about the stuff with Nintendo, right? Like, you know, on the Wii U, they had the digital versions of, you know, HD Wind Waker and HD Twilight Princess. Why aren't those things on the Switch? Like, what about the digital versions of these things can't just work on the Switch? I'm confused by that. Like, it doesn't seem like a porting problem to me, because you already have, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like these were motion-controlled games. You've already got the same button mappings. It just boggles my mind why they're not. But whatever. Sorry, rant over.
I think you're probably the biggest Star Wars Old Republic player on the show table.
Yeah, I enjoy some SWTOR from time to time. I mean, I even went to the launch party back in 2011 for it with the developers. The game's definitely come a long way, and, you know, customization features have been an ongoing change throughout the game, and different outfits and visuals and stuff like that. The cool thing about it now is you can finally change your weapon appearance in SWTOR. So this week in the 7.0.2 update expands the outfitter to include weapons. So when you're like looking at your outfit for your character, you can now customize some of your weapons looks and design and whatnot. So that's a cool feature. I never really thought it was an important thing to add, but I'm sure some people were really wanting it. So for those folks who really wanted it, now you got it.
Well, something I don't think anyone knew that we wanted, but now that we have it, we're all really, really excited about, is Block Quake, which is a fan-made mod level pack for Quake, which basically Lego-fies the game.
God, I love modding community. I fucking love the modding community. I'm so sorry. This is the kind of stuff in like the late 90s and early 2000s that made gaming on PC just so enjoyable, was there was constant total conversion mods like this left and right, and I freaking love the fact that this exists. This is amazing.
And it looks like what you'd expect. They're Lego figures that you're fighting, and the terrain, the level looks Lego-ish, which it already kind of did in Quake, I would say.
Sure.
Early 3D, fully 3D game. So
yeah, it's basically just like turn all the monsters into Lego minifigs of skeletons and things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know, man. The level geometry, I'm watching a guy play it. It's like the level geometry looks to be the only thing that got left alone.
Well, it is still in development. I know there's a list of things that they want to do to it. So
yeah,
I suspect maybe that's coming, but
Yeah, I mean the minifig mobs all look legit.
Yes.
It looks like a Lego game. So
100%. Yeah.
I guess that's as legit as you can get, right?
I freaking love it. I love it.
So it's called Block Quake, and it's free, and it is up on GitHub and itch.io if you want to check that out.
Yeah, now that I've got an RTX card, I need to play RTX Doom.
Mm-hmm. And Quake, yeah. They both got RTX mods now.
You know, I was shocked, actually. Like, RTX has been out for, what, 3 years now? Something like that? And the number of RTX games are very low. Right. So I'm surprised. I would have figured it would have become like just a standard option for just about everything by now.
It's interesting because we were playing MechWarrior 5 on our community night, little plug there. Yeah. And it defaulted RTX on with ultra graphics. And my 3080 Ti could not get more than about 25 frames a second. Now, granted,
some
I'm running
just
at 4K.
Can't implement that thing.
Well,
this is CGI, right? So it's like the fact that their game even boots up is a miracle.
But I'm saying I wonder if that's part of the reason is because the developers, you know, find it challenging to implement. I also, it definitely is a performance hog. The 20 series, it came out with the 2 series cards, and we're now on the 3 series, and The 3 series, you know, 30 frames a second at 4K is about what you can expect with high to.
I think if things were done intentionally with the RTX stuff, you're looking at better things. But I mean, RTX, I think, looks good for older games. I think having RTX enabled for older games to, like, for older games to go back and implement it, like the Quake, like the Doom, like Minecraft, like RTX Minecraft is incredibly beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, stuff like that.
I feel like Unreal 5. Did you guys watch that video that I put like a week or so ago in the tech channel? It was the video immediately before the 6-hour class on how to convert your game to Unreal 5. Okay, so the stuff that they were going through, like just baked into Unreal 5 is the light scattering like ray trace engine. It's just there. You don't need an RTX card to do it. And I don't know how they manage that, but cool.
Yeah, Unreal Engine 5 is proving it. Well, Unreal Engine 5 is proving to be like one of the best like game engine like development things out there. Like they've really poured in a huge amount of development work into it.
So I'm curious about things that are in Unreal 4 that are like you guys were saying before. It's like it's drop in, right? It's like, oh, my game's on Unreal 4. Now I got to upgrade to 5. Okay, you just drop it in, turn it on, it runs, right? So then you start putting like the Unreal 5 special improvements in there. But if it's a thing of like you take a game that's a couple years old that ran on Unreal 4, you drop it in there and then you just click RTX on, right? Then that'll change things. I would like to see, you know, like a lot of games get converted over to Unreal 5 if it's really minimal effort to do it.
Yeah. Well, and I think the thing that saves RTX right now is DLSS, because you can render at a lower resolution and then use the AI upscaling to get the quality that you're expecting. And that's kind of what you have to do. So that's like another feature that the developers have to implement.
Yeah, and that's a thing that's kind of buggy, though, because I've had a couple of games where if I turn on DLSS, my shit crashes and then I got to revert out. But I could turn on RTX. I could turn on all the things, turn all the graphics up to ultra. That was fine. But that DLSS switch actually was fatal. So apparently that's not real easy, like just clicking a button or something.
There is a utility. One second, Hunter. I'll just say this real quick. There is a utility called DLSS Swapper, which changes out the DLL version because the games use whatever version they got from NVIDIA when they shipped the game. So you can actually upgrade it with this tool for any of the games that you have installed that support it. Oh,
okay. That would matter.
So yeah.
I figured they would just hook to whatever they assume NVIDIA has in their install folder, right? Like just point to the official one that's always in this folder instead of baking it in.
Unfortunately, they put it in per game. So, yeah, you can basically get this thing and it goes into the game directory and puts a new version in.
Titanfall 2's best mode comes to Northstar's fan run servers. In case you all didn't know, Titanfall 2's had some issues with bot DDoS attacks. And so it's pretty much single-handedly taking that game out of existence, unfortunately, because I guess Respawn can't figure this stuff out. But there's a fan-run community of game browsers that you can get that pretty much revived the game called Northstar, and they have added their attrition mode back into that game, which is cool. I'm thinking maybe it might be time to dive back into Titanfall 2 and go play on some of the Northstar stuff since the normal servers don't work. Moving on to the retro section, I think Mellifites probably our Mr. Aficionado here. So what we got here?
So the Mr. got a new core. The Sega 32X is now supported on Mr. You can play all of the different games. You do not get the cool tower of power that Sega had on the original hardware, sadly. But
although you can get many hats for your Mr. So, I mean, I guess
that's
there's...
True. That's true. There's an equivalency there, yeah. There's also now a next 186 core, which allows you to emulate the 8086, 8186, and 8286 PC Intel CPUs, which is good for some of your older retro DOS games. And the news came out that we are getting a whole raft of new arcade cores that are in development. It includes X-Men, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time, Super Contra, Aliens, and about a dozen more. I gave up listing them all.
I'm excited because really I got my Mister finally set back up properly. I did some power rearrangement in my office and was able to actually get my Mister and my TV and stuff plugged back up. And so I'm really looking forward to diving back into it.
I want an FPGA video card. Right, like I can have a second video card in my box and actually like roll it back to a Riva TNT2 or a Voodoo, like a Voodoo 2 card or whatever for playing like retro things.
That would be cool. The other bit of Mister news: somebody revealed a handheld Mister prototype. So they're basically cutting down the DE10 Nano board that is the heart of the Mister, to make it fit into a case a little bit better, and doing kind of a Game Boy thing to it. So that was pretty cool. No word on, you know, production on that, but at least they've shown a prototype. We also are in the midst, this month is the 30th anniversary of the grandfather of 3D shooters. Wolfenstein 3D is turning 30.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. I so fondly, so vividly remember this game was one of the first that it actually supported stereo panning.
Uh-huh.
So it would move sounds across the left and right speaker based on where you were turning. And when you fight Mecha Hitler at the end and you're running away from his chain guns, you know, and trying to take him out, it was so vivid, the sound, unlike anything I'd heard at that point.
I do remember the sound for this game being very distinct, because it was one of the first games I played growing up, too, first PC games I remember playing growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just remember, like, it still is in my head, like, I can still hear, like, yeah, hot dog, and like all of those mm-hmm. sound effects, or the opening of the doors, or picking up ammo and gold and stuff. It's very distinctive sounds that I can remember hearing. So,
for sure. And last but not least for retro today, the fans have created their own Metroid 64, and it looks incredible, according to Nintendo Life. So, yeah, this is kind of a what if, you know, alternate timeline sort of thing, but it is a fully 3D, very low poly, because it's on the N64, Metroid.
Wow.
Prime.
This looks incredible. Look at that.
I mean,
I'd play it.
Yeah. I mean, it obviously the N64 was, you know, the early 3D console, and the quality is maybe not what we're used to on newer systems, but still looks like a lot of fun.
Heck yeah, I'd play this. Nice. All right.
Yeah, that's pretty freaky. It's like, all the limitations of the 64 are on display.
For sure.
I love how he moves like a robot from Berserk.
Oh, that's funny. So VR, we have a handful of VR items. Apparently, Meta, formerly Facebook, formerly Oculus, is releasing 4 new VR headsets by 2024. So in the next 2 years, year and a half, we're going to see 4 new headsets. One of those is above $800 sort of super pro model that apparently is going to have all kinds of features, including 12 gigs of RAM on board for local gaming. There's also a free tool if you're an Oculus headset user, but you like Steam VR better than the Oculus Home. You can run this free tool, and it will take you right into Steam VR when you
connect
your headset.
I like this a lot.
Yeah, very convenient. Some tech update. There is a company doing a project called Controller Pose, and they are doing body tracking from the controller having a camera in it rather than, you know, trying to do it all on the headset. They're actually adding cameras on the controllers so you can do body tracking, which is kind of neat. And finally, holy smokes, we have a ton of games getting VR mods recently. Morrowind has a multiplayer mod that also works in VR, so you can play Morrowind with friends in VR. Wolfenstein 2 has a VR mod that was released. Firewatch, the really cool narrative short game walking simulator for the uncharitable description, perhaps, got a VR mod, and that's now complete. The Stanley Parable recently got re-released and is getting a VR mod, which they released some footage of that. And Elden Ring has a really, really good VR mod. So if you're an Elden Ring fan, it's definitely worth checking out.
Yep. Great news for VR. And Nintendo news, I kind of want to hit this second one first. There's an article here that says, don't worry, Genshin Impact is still in development for the Nintendo Switch. Of course, obviously, because of the Shanghai office, there's, you know, whatever. But I find it funny considering the game is free on PC. Like, just go play it on PC if you're really, like,
or your phone.
It. Or your phone.
Or your PlayStation, that's right.
You're for your phone. Like, yeah, so...
You know, it's on all these other platforms.
Yeah, so anyway, there's that. And then Nintendo is close to hitting a $1.8 billion in revenue from mobile games. So I guess their mobile game venture has probably paid off well. I'm sure that money will go to making great quality games, as I snicker to myself.
Well, I'll tell you, I had an interesting experience with this just the other day.
Okay.
I had some Nintendo Platinum points that were expiring. Because if they're you know, reward points or whatever, not the gold ones that you use to buy stuff when you're buying games. But I wanted to get rid of them so I didn't lose them. And I went on the store and they have physical items you can redeem and you just pay shipping. But I couldn't get that to work. There was a bug that it kept failing during checkout. So I was like, well, I don't need any PC wallpaper. So about the only other thing I could get were... Fire Emblem, the mobile Fire Emblem game, has a bunch of in-game currency and stuff, and so you could redeem your platinum coins for these in-game things. And I have the game on my phone, but I don't think I've ever actually played it. And holy smokes, is it like over the top grinding you for money at every possible opportunity. It is. I felt filthy having played it for about 15 minutes. And I don't really understand how it is that a family-friendly company like Nintendo can do something that is so blatantly exploitative of their audience, especially kids. Like, I wouldn't let my kids near any of these games.
Right. No, I mean, I think the only mobile game that they did that I actually enjoyed was Mario Run, and that was about it. Everything else,
didn't they shut it down? That's the one they killed, right?
I don't remember, but I just remember Mario Run was a lot of fun. Because I remember when it first came out, me and a bunch of friends were competing for high scores on levels. Like, and that was really cool to see, like, who could get more coins than the next person. I was like, well, how did you get that coin? That's impossible, blah, 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 blah. Like, and that was a lot of fun because it became kind of like an interactive thing with my friends. And then they charged you another $10 to unlock the rest of the game. And you're like, okay. All right.
No, that was the one they canceled, because I remember we talked about it. You were having you had to like screenshot the leaderboard on your phone if you wanted to preserve the history or whatever.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah. Anyway, Gran Turismo 7. We've talked about it a few times. It's one of the big headline games on the PlayStation 4 and 5. They are giving away some free DLC, kind of to try and make up some of their faux pas to the community, I suspect. But it is, they call it DLC. This annoys me. There's not a separate item you go get in the store. It is just built into the game. So they're just adding more stuff into the base game for free. It's not really DLC. They shouldn't use that term, but whatever. All right. Moving on to cloud stuff. You still have a GeForce Now subscription?
I do, actually.
Then this might be of interest. You can now stream 4K 60fps on Mac and PC. Previously, it was only available on the NVIDIA Shield.
Yeah.
With their super premium 3080 mode. So.
Yeah, no, this is This is really good. I do like what they're trying to do for the community with the cloud gaming technology. I think even though it's maybe not as high, I may even cancel because it's like $5, but because I just don't use it as much as I'd like to. But I do support the tech that they're trying to build. So there's that.
All right. Probably everybody remembers that Fortnite got kicked off of Apple's platforms, their mobile platforms, after a legal dispute over the payment service. And that lawsuit was resolved, and Apple was allowed to keep them off of the Apple Store. Well, they're back in a roundabout sort of way. Fortnite was recently added to the Xbox xCloud service, which runs through the browser on your iOS device. So you can actually now play Fortnite on Apple stuff once again. I'm sure everyone's thrilled.
Woo!
Yeah.
And a bit of PlayStation news with cloud gaming. PlayStation Now loses 50-plus games ahead of the PS Plus relaunch, which, yikes. Although PlayStation Plus is getting new games that will rotate like the Xbox Game Pass, which is good.
Well, yeah, that's news, though, because originally they were just talking about a library of 400 games or whatever, and it wasn't clear if they were going to switch them out or not. It's good and bad, right? Because if you're in the middle of playing a game and they pull it, you're kind of out of luck because you can't buy those games, those classic games on the platform right now.
Right, like you can with Xbox.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, see, that this is, I feel like PlayStation is just going about all, and I'm not trying to be negative here. Is this just like a cultural difference in understanding of economy, or how to, like, is this a Japanese thing? Like, I'm not trying to be critical of that. I'm just trying to understand why is this decision making so hard, or why is it going in this direction? We can probably do a whole show on this, but I just get really confused by the marketing here, or the decision making process, to make me go like, well, how are you going to retain people's interest in this?
Outside
of your core fan base, right? There's clearly a core PlayStation fan base, and I get that because I'm a core PC guy. Like, I get it, but like, I don't know. Anyway, we could probably, like I said, do a whole show on it. It's just weird to me. So, like, Tekken 2 and Mr. Driller for the PS1, as well as Ridge Racer 2 for PSP, are coming to the new PS Plus. So, I mean, that's good. There's a bunch of games that are, you know, coming out there from those original things, but I think people would like a way to actually purchase them and retain them in their library. People like collecting games. Yes. Even if it's digital, they want to be able to play these games whenever they want, so give them that option. You're not helping them.
Yep.
So, anyway.
I'm with you.
Tech news.
All right. So, it turns out there are people making USB-A cables, the traditional USB cable, that are reversible. And so a lot of people who are used to USB-C being reversible, and that's been wonderful, kind of were questioning, like, why did we not get the reversible A cables, you know, years ago? This is ridiculous. It's the truism that you have to insert any USB-A cable three times to get it in, even though there's only two positions.
I just don't understand why they didn't make the thing slight, you know, like a DVI cable or whatever, where it's got like one corner is flat instead of right, just to be like, okay, I can visually look at it and know.
So there is a new 5-centimeter diamond wafer that can fit 25 million terabytes of data.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Oh my gosh.
Can't wait till I can buy one for my PC.
Crystal storage.
This could have gone funny and strange, but it was just kind of cool. NVIDIA's got a next generation data center GPU. This is for like AI work, and it's $36,000. So that's
pocket change. Sure, why not?
Yeah, yeah. Well, people were upset about, you know, the regular GPUs being expensive. So So apparently the next gen GPUs may get as much as double the performance of the current gen, which makes that 3090 Ti seem like a really bad idea.
Yep.
Because these four, the 4000 series is right around the corner. Let's see what else. Windows 11 is going to get auto HDR sliders and per game profiles, so you can have better control of the look of some of these games. Auto HDR when it works is beautiful.
When it works, it is nice.
Every once in a while, you get a game that it just shouldn't, you know, doesn't seem to understand what's going on. But yeah, for most of them. DisplayPort monitors are getting a adaptive sync certification from VESA, and there's two tiers because nothing can be simple, and the better tier is adaptive sync display, and that's the one you want for gaming. There's also like a media sync, which is for movies, and a subset of the full standard. So this is kind of replacing your branding around G-Sync and FreeSync. Essentially, because you're getting a VESA.
Oh, yeah, and since you said DisplayPort, that's what I meant, not DVI. DVI had, like, the gajillion little pins in it.
Yes,
that was,
yes.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so somebody made a 3090 Ti, speaking of dumb video cards, that needs 890 watts of power.
Oof.
I'm just imagining my next PC is going to be full of PSUs. Power, you know, so you need a power supply just for the GPU, and then the rest of the computer will have its own power supply.
All right, let's blast through this business and legal real quick. Embracer Group to acquire Crystal Dynamics, Eidos Montreal, and Square Enix Montreal. Embracer expects to get Marvel's Avengers and Guardians of the Galaxy IP as well. I didn't realize that this was a thing that needed to be sold or acquired, I guess, because of the bad release of the Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, I thought Eidos Montreal...
Air quotes bad.
Right. Clear. Air quote.
The like, game is excellent.
Right. I just find it interesting that Eidos Montreal and Square Enix Montreal are getting sold off, because I thought for the most part they were releasing good stuff. Like, maybe I misunderstood. Because isn't Eidos Montreal the ones that did the new like Deus Ex games, or what am I thinking of? Like, there was something that came out of there.
Yeah. Crystal Dynamics does the Tomb Raider games, and the new trilogy was really good. The third one, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, maybe the weakest of the three, but that was still a lot of fun.
So
I think Marvel's Avengers certainly was a flop. The multiplayer people really hated. And Guardians of the Galaxy was great, but apparently Square had absurdly high sales targets for it, and it didn't make that. So, yeah, you know, probably for the best for these developers, because they're actually going to go somewhere that hopefully has a little more business sense than Square Enix Japan seems to.
Intel CEO now thinks that the chip shortage will last into 2024. Honestly, I'm not surprised by this, though, to be honest with you. I really am not.
Well, yeah, it's rough. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to go on to the next one. Outriders hasn't made a profit and may never. This game really never made my interest list, so
there you go. I thought it was okay. I guess a lot of people got bored with it by the end game. They are doing a big DLC expansion for it, like a $25 expansion. And I would have thought that would have at least made it, you know, brought it back to profitability. But like, why keep working on the game if you're losing money on it? That seems like really bad business sense to me. But maybe they just want to fix it. I don't know.
And if you guys had forgotten, Sony is buying Bungie. And I don't know if you guys remember this, but there is that is happening. And according to Sony, it says it will not make Bungie games exclusive, but the FTC may not be convinced. So I don't know what to say to that. Is the FTC not going to let this happen? Is that what I'm seeing? Or...
Well, they could put like actual legal conditions on it where they have to keep Bungie games on other platforms for 5 years after the deal closes, things like that.
Interesting.
This is similar when Spectrum was formed from Charter and a couple other cable companies. They weren't allowed to do data caps for 3 years after the merger, for example. So the FTC does have the power to do stuff like that.
Well, moving on to our funny and strange section, there's definitely a few funny and strange things in here. I think there's somebody hammering on the outside of my house right now.
I was wondering what that was.
I think there's my landlord is here.
So the Final Fantasy, Square Enix made an $11,600 statue of one of the characters, the Magitek armor mech in Final Fantasy 15. And they are charging $11,600 for it. Eesh. And this prompted one of the creators of Final Fantasy to question their business judgment and said, isn't this a little dangerous? Is it okay, Square Enix? So that was just kind of funny. I can't imagine who's buying that thing, but more power to you.
Somebody will, and that's all that matters.
I guess.
Final Fantasy 14 producer asks players to stop saying nice job to opponents and then setting off fireworks on their bodies. I find that hysterical. Like, it's like saying, hey, stop teabagging in Halo. It's never going to happen. I'm sorry. It's just not going to.
Yep. Well, and it just shows players will find a way, right? They will find a way to troll each other. Oh, that's great.
That's actually a funny thing in EVE Online right now on Celebration. Mm. One of the dailies you can do as part of like the 19th anniversary of EVE is they say go out and shoot another player with fireworks. It's a non-aggressive thing because it doesn't do any damage. So you can go shoot other players with fireworks. So you undock from a station, there's like fireworks going off everywhere. And you're like, what the hell?
okay. A new soda flavor is harkening the end of human civilization table. We're done as a race because Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew is now a thing.
Hell yeah.
And it's been approved for use on Steam Deck.
Is that a crossover with what was the big Mountain Flamin Dew
Hot
flavor?
Cheetos.
Well, there's Flamin' Hot Cheetos, but what was the flavor of Mountain Dew? Was it Baja Blast, I think was like
yes,
the big?
Yes, it's the gaming one, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I don't like
that stuff, by the way. I mean
I do too.
I guess like the only place you could get it before was like Taco Bell or something.
Yep.
Was it exclusive? Can you actually buy it in a store now?
I don't think you can buy it at all anywhere.
Yeah, I think it's gone. But at one point they did have it bottled, I believe.
I'll pour Crystal Coke out for that.
Pepsi.
I'm looking right now. I think what is this? Must be 21 to enter. What am I looking at? Oh my god. Okay. Real news here. If you go to hardmountaindew.com, even kidding. No, it's for alcohol. If you're 21 and over, depending on where you live, hardmountaindew.com flavors Baja Blast. It's a 5% alcoholic beverage, fan favorite, cult following, now hard. Nice. With 5% average, find it now. Oh my god. So it's a canned alcoholic Mountain Dew Baja Blast. I think I'm gonna buy some and try it.
Your problem is you need to learn how to play the game.
Get good, Scrub.
This just could go bad. That's all I'm saying.
It comes in original flavor, watermelon, black cherry, and Baja Blast. I'm legitimately curious. Mountain Dew actually has like Mountain Dew energy drinks now. They're not just like sodas. Like they're doing all kinds of stuff. This is funny and strange.
Basically a Mountain Dew flavored White Claw.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Let's do it. I'm going to get some.
I hope the state of Texas has not allowed this across the border. Let me move.
You guys get Four Locos down there though, don't you?
That's true. We do get all
kinds. It'd bring back the Coors Light days where people had to drive across the state border to buy a case of Coors Light. Welcome back to the '80s.
Yep. So there's a Fisher-Price toy controller for like little toddlers. And it was made famous a few years ago when it came out because somebody figured out that you could put the Contra code in it and it would do a little jingle and like say, "You win." And posted it on Twitter. So a hardware hacker took one of these things and actually made it into a legit Xbox compatible controller. But they kept all the sound effects while you're playing. So it'll like talk to you. Good job. That's a triangle. You know, this kind of like little kid learning stuff while you're trying to play your game. So it just, you got to see the video for this. If you get a chance, it's pretty, pretty spectacular.
All right.
Spotify. You know, go ahead.
You know how they put, like the candy emotes in games, right? So that players can't be offensive to each other. Like, you know, it's like, you can pick your emote from a group of choices, right? So it'll say, you know, like good game or whatever, right? So What game is going to be the first one that actually puts insults on the wheel, you know, like where you actually can like call somebody a douche or what? Because you were just making me think, like, the controller that actually talks to you. It's like, what if I could actually transmit, like, insults out somebody else's controller speaker? Like, douchebag?
I remember Burnout, the Paradise, on the Xbox 360 had a feature where if you wrecked one of your friends, it would take a picture of them with the Xbox camera and send it to you as a memento. So you could see them like raging at you.
Oh, nice.
And it became,
hope they got clothes on while they're playing.
Well, it became a thing where you jump up and drop your drawers and, flash somebody your cheeks, at least among my group of friends. So I have a lot of pictures of asses and balls.
Saved those, huh?
Well, I think they're gone now from the Xbox, but yeah.
Your cloud?
Yeah. Moving right along, Spotify has launched its own island in Roblox. This is just, I guess, a promotional thing. They're trying to like do concerts in Roblox. It almost sounds like they're gonna have themed islands for different types of music. So
they're picking up where Fortnite left off.
I was just thinking that. Microsoft's neglected baby boy Clippy is now on Halo Infinite. He's a little what do you want to call it? Like a
charm
emblem. Or? He's an emblem that can go on like your armor. I actually find that to be cool. I'm glad Microsoft is leaning into that old meme.
I would have accepted him as like a 1-to-1 Cortana replacement. Just like Master Chief puts out the palm of his hand and Clippy pops up.
Hey, did you know that you can fix that sentence by? Yeah.
It looks like you're trying to kill some Covenant.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know about this next one, but okay.
Well, it just shows this is a statue of Tifa from Final Fantasy 15, and she's in a pose that is less than modest, let's say. And it's, you know, just it's $730. I don't quite know. Like, you can buy a lot of porn for $730 that would be more interesting than this, but whatever. I don't understand.
Yeah, I wonder if Tifa is the most cosplayed by the cosplay attention seeker girls.
Certainly got to be up there, but yeah.
Because she definitely had, like, the most robust polygons of all the characters.
In the original, for sure.
Yes.
All right, so somebody built a robot to aim the mouse. It uses motors to move the mouse around on the mat, and they hooked it up to a website called, I lost the name of it, Aim Lab, and it more than doubled the performance that a normal person would get. So it was twice as accurate, twice as fast as a normal human. At first-person shooters. So our time is coming. Skynet is born. It's learning at a geometric rate. We're all done for. If the Mountain Dew doesn't get us, the robot aimbot will take us down.
Well, if there's one more thing that Star Citizen just felt it needed to do. Bedsheet deformation physics are now a thing because, of course, it is.
Oh.
procedurally crumpled bed sheets.
Okay, I feel like Cloud Imperium Games, having actually played Star Citizen, thanks to Table, at his recommendation, I actually have been impressed with how much they have done with the game. And I think I felt like it got a bad rap a little bit.
It just does everything but let you fly spaceships, and that's what we wanted.
Well, you can still, like, you can fly the spaceship around and stuff, but then they go and do stuff like this that just makes them look stupid.
The percentage of cool spaceship activity to non-spaceship bullshit that I have to do to get into the spaceship is too damn high.
I can see that, yes. But, like, they're not helping their own reputation is my point when they go and announce this.
Like, procedural fried eggs meme should have been the end of all of this, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's going to about do it for this episode of the show. Be sure to come on over to our Discord and check out all the chats and things we got going on here and community nights. Last couple of weeks, we actually did Mech 5, and that was a lot of fun. Been having a lot of fun playing Mech Warrior. I currently have it set to do Eve Valkyries this week, but we might change that to Planetside 2. So that's where my mind is at right now. I think we might actually do Planetside 2 this Thursday. But discord.otherworlds.gg for all this and more, and we will see you next week. This has been episode number 60.
Yeehaw.